Hey everybody, it's John Quaid here from Wolfgar Weapons and Props. In this episode, we have a panel at Indie PopCon this past weekend. Sorry about the audio. We did our best as we could to record it in the panel. I lost Wi-Fi, couldn't upload stuff. My computer was going crazy, so I had to re-record off a random recording I found on my computer, so the audio quality is not that great. But we give all sorts of great tips. If you're a cosplayer, if you're trying to build a new costume, we give specific tips on specific costumes that people had questions on. You get to meet some of the Wolfgar Weapons members and kind of hear their advice on all sorts of different issues. So give it a listen. Let us know what you think. And we'll be back next Wednesday, hopefully with another great podcast. So here we go. Let's get into it.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for hanging out here at the Wolfgar Weapons and Props. Props Q&A. If you're in the back and want to move closer because there's plenty of seats, come on down. I'm going to go ahead and just let everybody introduce themselves. I am James Wolfgar, and I run Wolfgar Weapon and Props. And over to my left.
I am Adam Watney. I am a mission builder and electronic specialist at Wolfgar Weapons.
I'm Seth Knight. I make stuff.
I'm John Quaid, and I follow James around and help him out with everything. So last panel, when they were talking about handlers, I'm James's professional handler. You cannot find me on Craigslist.
That's strange, because I totally found him on Craigslist. Oh, he's taken me. That's what it is. Yeah. No, seriously, I'm going to try that. Okay, so they do a lot more than what they just let on. Seth builds stuff. Yeah, we all build stuff, but Seth's been with me since the start of Wolfgar Weapons and Props. Actually, before that, we came up with the name together, so, and that sort of thing. So he was definitely hanging out before that. And then I've known Quaid longer than I've known Seth. So we've all been around for a while, and I think I met Adam about 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time. We're really able to talk about props all day, but I really would like this to be more of a Q&A and answer your specific questions. Kind of like if you were in the last panel, I want you guys to get stuff out of this. We want you to get stuff out of this. So
Absolutely. If
you have questions anytime when we're talking, even if it's a question after another question like the sparks, just raise your hand, we'll call on you. Does anybody, first of all, have any questions that they'd like to start off with? Or we can also just ramble and talk and share our stories or ask questions to each other, too. All right, in the back.
What are some materials that you would recommend to make a cosplay?
That is a very good question. The question was, what are some materials we would recommend? I'm going to go ahead and let Seth start with this one because he's lead builder after all, right?
So some of the materials, so if it's, if you're doing armor or anything else like that, I would say EVA foam, something that's a bit softer, easier to work with. Usually you don't want to start with anything like plastic until you've learned how to handle a lot of the other more beginner stuff, also because it can actually, break apart and possibly stab you, which is never fun. So as far as like the general material to use, I would definitely recommend EVA foam over anything else.
Okay.
Duct tape. I think it all depends on what kind of project you're working on and what kind of budget you have. So if you don't have a big budget, use what you have. So even if it's just cardboard, duct tape, anything you have around the house. We use lots of different things because we can afford to buy them. But if you're just trying to create something on the spot, it's your first cosplay, don't be afraid that you don't have the right materials or anything like that. We also do a lot of just, when I used to make costumes at least, I would do a lot of just going to the dollar store and looking for what different types of materials. Maybe it's a bowl here or a glass here or something that would be the right shape or something like that for your costume. So the material list is unlimited. The hardest part, I think, is figuring out how to actually use adhesives to actually put them together, which we can talk on later too. But you can basically use any materials to make cosplays. But if you're making something out of scratch, foam is definitely great. You can pattern it out, make armor, different types of things, but it depends on the build and depends on what kind of money you have.
Yeah, and when we say foam, we're talking about EVA foam or floor mat foam that you get like at a hardware store, and you can actually order it offline. There's a lot of cosplay things. One of our friends just came out with a foam line called HD Foam, and that's SKS Props, and it's really, really nice foam. There's also things like Warbla and Sintra and a few other things. Really, it's exactly what Quade said. Depending on what you're building, that's really it really should be, what are you building? What are your goals for it? Do you need it to be durable? Do you need it to be lightweight? Do you need it to like not melt? Those kind of things. But foam is really probably our weapon of choice in materials. Watt, you got anything else to add?
No, I pretty much just echo what you guys just said. So,
okay, any other questions? I'm gonna go with a follow-up question. How do you attach that stuff with them adhesives? I would say my favorite way of attaching one thing to another is, well, one, zip ties, I like those, but then two, like, I like to screw things together with an actual, like, if it's plastic to wood or something like that, I'm not trying to glue it. I'm just putting the screw through it, right? That being said, there's a lot of times it doesn't work, but look into that. There's a bunch of people who will glue together, like, Nerf guns. They'll cut two Nerf guns down, and every one of our, like, Nerf gun mods, we just take a screw through. We take, you know, a bolt or whatever and go through that. So I like to attach things with screws, and there's also glues and adhesives, but I'll let the other guys talk about that. Favorite adhesive.
I really, really like the Bob Smith epoxy. It holds better than anything else I've ever used, so I definitely recommend that.
Yeah, that's Bob Smith Industries.
Yeah.
You can find it on Amazon or some other places, but we use the super glue of that, which is MaxiCure. That's the CAU. That's our favorite. It's a filler as well. But then he was just talking about epoxies, and the Bob Smith epoxy is really good too.
Yeah.
What other stuff we got?
There's actually a list online that you can basically find that is has a list of different adhesives that actually work and bond together. Hot glue doesn't actually like adhering to plastic that well. So a lot of times, you know, it'll solidify and then it'll just peel right off. Whereas super glue to, you know, plastic to foam works super well. The foam is actually going to rip before the plastic does. So there's, do you remember what the name of the table was? It was floating around
glue
for a
this
while.
To that.
Yeah.
Just type in glue this to that or stick this to that or something
yeah.
like that.
But a quick Google search will pull that up, and basically it goes over a list of different types of hit adhesives work for different types of materials, and you can use that to at least also definitely test whatever you're gluing together. Do not just first attempt try a new glue. Do some tests. If at all possible, do some tests. It'll save you some headache.
We use probably Bob Smith for 90% of our projects.
Yeah.
But other things like foam, you can use Barge to adhere, and it's a really good, it just won't come apart at all. That's actually like a glue, I believe.
It's a contact cement
that actually cobblers use, I believe, a lot of times to like glue shoe soles to actual shoes. But that works really well on foam. So that's my only.
So Barge is a form of contact cement. Barge is a really nice. It's a brand name of a contact cement. They are different. Try them. Learn how to use contact cement and all those things. And also, just go on the internet and look up, like, or read the back of the bottle. For example, Bob Smith has a bunch of different super glues. They all work in different ways. They're all that. There's a reason that, like, spray adhesive, which is another adhesive, there's a reason it all has different numbers, because they're all for different things. The instructions are on the back, and you can just read them. So if you're at the hardware store and you or wherever or online, so if you go on bombsmith.com, it'll tell you what every single one of those do and what the best one for your job is. Some of them are flexible glues, some of them are not flexible glues, some of them dry really fast, that sort of thing. And that's a lot about adhesives. What's your question, Melissa?
Real quick, because I came in at the last thing, what was the name of that contact
smith?
Bars?
Barge.
B-A-R-G-E.
Like a big ship. Yeah.
Barge contact smith.
So I spray paint some plastic stuff, and I find that the paint chips off really easy. How can I prevent that?
That's such a good question. Thank you for not being planted in the audience.
It's a legitimate question.
Be better. yeah, go ahead, Seth.
There are several ways. Now that we just mentioned it before, if it's a small enough area, you can actually coat plastic in CA glue. It actually makes a shell that, you know, that can be painted over. It really depends on the plastic. A lot of different plastics makeups are hydrophobic, so that they won't actually allow any other chemicals to adhere to them. A lot of, like, squirt guns, some Nerf guns and stuff like that, they'll just... Also, like, buckles and stuff like that will also do it, too.
Yeah, so if you test it, it's not sticking, sand it.
Yeah.
Because if you sand it, it's like anything else. It'll take off the mold release. It will literally give it more adhesive to go for. But then covering it in CA glue. And when we say CA glue, it's super glue. But we're also not talking about the super glue that you buy from the hardware store, which is really bad. It doesn't work. Okay, so a lot of people are like, oh, hey, I really don't like super glue. I'm like, well, that's because you were using the wrong kind. And it probably dripped, and it dripped on your fingers and dripped everywhere else, and you had a bad time, and you were glued to the table and the seat. At least by the I think we've all glued ourselves to something in the shop, right?
I glued myself to a paintbrush one time.
That was fun. Yeah. The one paintbrush move.
Yeah, so definitely, when we say Bob Smith is worth it, and the reason we really like the MaxiCure one is that it's the really thick glue that literally you can use like you think you should be able to use super glue, right? Like, you just take it from the bottle, put it on whatever it is, push it together, wait 60 seconds, and it's done, right? It doesn't drip, nothing else like that happens. And that's why we recommend it so highly. But when we say CA glue, that's super glue. Jack?
So
the wood putty, the paint is chipping from the wood putty?
The wood putty is, like, chipping out with the paint.
Okay, so the wood putty's actually falling off?
Yeah.
Out?
So wood epoxy is going to go.
Yeah, at that point, there's a couple different things you could do. You could probably just put another piece over it, like cover it in super glue, let it dry, and that would maybe keep it from chipping. But Seth's got some.
There's a couple different fillers that you can use. If it's the reason why it's probably not adhering, is it PVC base?
No, exactly.
It's actually wood. Really?
Yeah.
That's really surprising. Huh. That's actually really surprising. Yeah, and also well done. There's different things you can use. You can use epoxy. You can use epoxy sculpt, which is a two-part putty, which then, like, basically solidifies, well, rock hard, and then you can sand it down too, which almost never come up. And it can be painted and stuff like that as well. It's probably, if it's coming off of the paint, then it's probably more of a sealing issue. Did you seal it with? Okay, so there's polyurethane spray in the. If you're going to a hardware store, there's wood sealants that you can use, and that would probably seal a bit better. Most of the time with wood filler, it's meant to be just in recesses, so it's actually not a very strong. Gap filler. It's good for what it's using. It was the right call for it because it is out of wood. But if you go in, there's polyurethane spray. It also comes in cans where you can brush it on as well, which probably would be better to apply thicker coats of that, especially in that area, as it's not really needed on the other spots. But that would be my best guess off the top of my head.
There's also a thing called wood bond, or yeah, wood bond. It's like a two-part epoxy, but it's made specifically for wood. There's like Flex Bond and a few others. It's in the hardware store as well, and it's two-part epoxy.
I have something similar. I have a side that's wood and screwed together, but the screws keep on backing out. I've tried super glue, I've tried everything. I've tried different screws, but they all keep backing out, and I don't know what to do to stop that.
What you can try is you can try using bigger screws, because it sounds like the holes have just gotten worn out. So I'd recommend like trying bigger screws.
And then also, you could go ahead. Try wider threaded screws, if it's possible, if you can drill all the way through to a bolt instead, so that it goes all the way through, and you can tighten the bolt on the other, a nut on the other side, and you can either super glue the bolt or Loctite it in.
Yeah.
Another thing you can do if you really want it to hold is you can actually put a bit of a two-part epoxy when you screw it into it, so it'll give it just enough time so that you can, you know, put the screw all the way into it. And then it'll set up around it. And that would probably be the best thing that I can think of as far as holding that screw in place.
That's what I would do. And I did that earlier today when somebody's screw was coming out.
I was along with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Adding wood to your epoxy, like sawdust, making like a peanut butter type of paste is really good for that kind of thing too.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
And they sell like wood chips. And they also sell like wood dust. It's like wood flour, I think it's called. Wood flour can mix in with like even some of your epoxy, or not epoxy, but resin. So I mix wood flour in with some of the resin to make it last longer and give it kind of a wood feel. Go ahead.
If I want to add a lights to a costume, like either the costume itself or a costume, what are the best kind of lights to use that are still visible in daylight, and what's the best way to attach them?
Light LEDs and like daylight and stuff don't really mix all that well. So there's not a lot I can tell you. So sorry.
Okay,
it depends on what you want to achieve with it.
Yeah, I have something I tend to do with things like that. I made Wolverine claws that had LEDs in them. They were red LEDs and they lit up. Well, when you frost them, they lit up and they were red. Well, what I ended up doing is I ended up just painting with a very light coat of acrylic paint with a sponge brush so you couldn't see the strokes, and then paint them red. So that's kind of referred to as day glow, right? So even if the lights are off, they're still red. But when you click them on, they're even more red, right? So in a setting outside, like in the con, you can still see it.
As far as like actual electronic components, there's general LEDs, and you can also look into like actually high powered LEDs as well if you really need it to be like bright. But as far as a general rule, having a day glow or something like that, it's much better. LEDs and lights in general are extremely tricky to work with as far as to get what we think of when something lights up. Another thing you can do, if it's in a recess, you can also, like, for example, if it's under a scaled pauldron, you can actually paint everything around where the light would be darker so that it actually shows it's contrasted more. The same as, putting reflective tape behind LEDs to shine them brighter. There's several things you can do to kind of boost the light, but as far as in daylight goes, it's better, like James said, it's better to go with something that is, day glow painted.
Yeah, if you just paint something, you can paint something to the point where light will still go through, so it's kind of tinted.
Yeah.
And something to keep in mind when you do like higher power LEDs is you need a heat sink for those, because the high power LEDs generate a lot of heat, and then that's not good. You could like get hurt, or something could melt.
Yeah, and then another thing I like to do, and this is me personally, if I'm selling something, I tend to not do this, but I tend to go to the hardware store and find a nice bright light that's already made and cool, and I'll just put, I'll just either paint over the over it, or I'll put like some gel in there, so that gives me a different color, and then I'll bury it. Oh yeah, or acrylic piece, and I'll bury that in my costume, and then just already have the battery and everything. This is a really quick way of doing it, and if you buy something super super bright there, then it can maybe work. Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm ready to try out making more rock. Is there tutorials and things like that? Is there anything like just the most important thing to remember, I guess?
The most important thing to remember when making rock.
Should we,
Oh, no.
Should we go down the line? Should we go down the line of our one tip?
We definitely need to go down the line on this game because there's a ton of stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and start with one.
What's your one tip about armor?
My first question is, what type of armor do you want to build?
So the character I want to do is General Amaya from Dragon Prince.
Oh, hell yes. I mean, heck yes.
Yeah, she's a big supporter of the idea. Okay. So I've not tried it before. I worked with foam. It's so just fine. I made this with War Glove. I've never actually attempted like
See, my suggestion would be foam. Yeah, I haven't worked with foam a lot. My forte is electronics, so I don't have a lot to say about armor, but foam is typically the way to go.
Okay.
Yeah, so, one, good character choice right there. I like that a lot. But secondly, yeah, when you're going through it, there's a ton of videos to follow by. We offer a foam workshop. We offer, you know, armor building workshop. That's up in West Lafayette, Indiana. You also, there's other people down in Indy that are doing it. There's a lot of people who have done it before. Trying it. I think my best piece of advice is just do it. Just try it. And remake it. You're going to remake the same piece, like her shield. Try, like, a part of her shield three times. But literally know that you're going to make it three times, okay? And don't be afraid of making something and then just being like, oh, well, that's it. I made it. You're going to learn. It's going to look so much better the second or the third time that you try it. And just if you're aware of that right away, yeah. Did you make those first try? Yes. Yeah. So same thing as anything else. And if you made those, you can build armor for sure, right? And foam's pretty easy to work with. There's a lot of good videos out there. Go on.
All right, this is kind of like a bundled set of tips. First and foremost, get a good cutting mat. Second, watch where your hands are when you're cutting, and keep your knife sharp.
So how do you guys keep your knife sharp? Because I tend to ruin the razor that I'm using and stuff, so that's...
Yeah, there's a knife sharpener. Is it Kershaw? Is the Kershaw as a branded knife sharpener on Amazon? It's about $10, and it's saved me so much time in so many different blades. Use a box cutter, extend it just a little bit beyond what, you know, the length of blade that you're using, couple swipes down it, and it's almost as good as new.
Okay.
So that's the best way to keep your knife sharp, and that's the best way to get your cleanest cut. Definitely don't try to, like, saw through your foam. Definitely, if you can manage it, just one pull through every line. But also having a good large area to cut will make it so that you're not, like, having to turn your piece around a bunch of different times. But
so is there a knife brand or type that you recommend for using?
Not really. Any hardware store is going to sell the same generic pack of, you know, box knives.
Right. Just stay away from anything that's like plastic body.
Get a good handle on your box knife.
And also, if it's a box knife, you can buy two different kinds of box knives. You can buy the ones with the full blades, and then you can buy the ones that break off. The ones that break off are nice if you break them off to sharpen them. But if you, for safety reasons, especially if you're pressing really hard on stuff, or you ever try to pry something with it, you want to make sure that you want to have it with a clean blade. Like, not one of the break ones. But also, to sharpen it, some people just break off one and go through that whole pack. Right? That's another option. Quit?
Don't do
it. No, do armor.
Yes.
I think one of the most important things to think about is what your armor is going to attach to. Because your armor just isn't free floating on your body and how it's going to attach. So there's all sorts of things you can do. A lot of times when we do different types of armor, we will do like the kind of lifting belts. If you were like moving things, if you go to a hardware store, they'll have straps that go on your shoulders and it will go around your waist, and attaching things to those so your armor can actually sit towards your body rather than it's just hanging off. And making lots of like buckles and clasps and things you can get in and out of. James sometimes disagrees. As I said, I'm his professional handler, but he has me zip time and everything. But I continually encourage him to put buckles on them so I don't have to continually zip tie and do all that stuff. But add a bunch of buckles. Think about all the stuff under as much as you think of the stuff on top. And if that specific character, James knows it and is super excited, I'm not as familiar with it, but maybe someone has a pattern out there that you could use. But also, instead, you don't have to have a mannequin dummy or anything, but like patterning things out with, like, you can do like saran wrap and then like just tape around you so you know kind of the size and those types of stuff. So yeah, so you got all that stuff, but there you go.
She's already way ahead of us.
but my suggestion is think about what's going under it and that type of thing, because that's one of the most important. You could make this all this cool armor, but you don't know how it's going to attach. So that's the hardest part sometimes.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point you just brought up. Also, if you're making something big that you want big armor on, go to the store or go to Goodwill or something and find a backpack that you can stuff the backpack. Our Space Wolves are just Goodwill backpacks that are stuffed up with foam, right? It makes us all bulky, right? Having something that straps across your chest, like you were saying, is really awesome. Also, if you're a seamstress, then you can build foam different ways, but patterns, you can buy patterns for. Even if you go and you find a foam pattern that is for something that looks kind of like what you're trying for, use that pattern. I would suggest to build whatever it is that you're trying, that you bought the pattern for, right? So then you get the idea and you can be like, look, I built this helmet, right? And then you can take those patterns and you modify them from to where you want.
Just like a sewing pattern. Not too much.
There's a lot of people who make that transition from sewing to foam work very easily using patterns. And I've never been a pattern person myself, so I built it a totally different way. But yeah, he does a lot of patterns. But if that's the case, there's a ton of patterns out there. Go ahead.
I was thinking for a future character to make a berserker thing. But the berserker would look like he made everything himself. So yeah. I was thinking about using like wood on stone. What adhesive or anything would you recommend for that?
So you're talking about attaching wood to an actual rock, yeah. Right? Okay. So does anybody else want to? I got something for this.
You guys.
I would take a drill and drill into the stone. Get a stone drill and drill into the stone, and then I would get a, like, you know, those things they use to put into concrete, and I would bolt that through the board into the wood, or into the stone, and do it that way. Keep in mind, it's going to be real heavy, and that's also, I mean, you can put epoxy in between there too to maybe hold it, but I don't know a single adhesive that's going to get stone to wood real well, to the point where I would feel comfortable even walking around a convention because it might fall off.
An alternative that you can do is you could make it out of like foam or whatever,
yeah.
And then you could use a textured stone spray paint, and you should be able to get the same effect.
And that'll be a lot lighter,
yes.
Right? So if I was going to use something out of stone, definitely I'd make it out of foam. It's a good call.
Yeah, I would suggest if you're just going for that look to use something a lot lighter and make it look like wood and stone rather than use wood and stone. We all want to do the actual thing, but yeah, your arm, everything's going to be super tired by the end of the day.
Also, you probably won't be able to take it in many conventions because if you're playing a stone barbarian axe or whatever, then it's not going to get in.
Yeah, that's
true. You might not be happy.
Any other questions? Did I answer your question? Okay. Any other questions?
So I have been wanting to do a cosplay of May from Overwatch, but then a specific skin where in her gun there's like liquid, and if it moves like
my thing is, obviously, yeah, real liquid's not going to be a good idea or something easy to mess with every time. Now, is there something I could do to make it look like there's liquid in there or an effect?
Yeah.
Okay, so for that, it's in a canister, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's several things you could do. You can make a canister that comes out of it, and then you could actually put real liquid into it. It's actually preferable. I think you use colored alcohol is usually what people use because it doesn't like streak across the inside where water uses it as. It also doesn't like condensate.
Yeah, that's what I
mean. And then if it's in a canister, then you can take it off, and then you don't have to worry about it. Like if it does leak after you've sealed it with like a silicone caulking or something like that inside. Also, if you make it out of a cup or something like that that already has a seal on it, then I mean it's just as simple as replacing it every now and again. If you want it to be not a liquid, you can get a clear epoxy resin, and then you can essentially just make a rig or something where it sits so that it is level with where the water would be inside, and then basically it's just waiting for that to set up. Now the plastic that you use, if it is hydrophobic or anything like that, it might be an issue where it doesn't adhere to it, which might mean that it just pops off. But if you're using just a clear like acrylic tube, most adhesives will just adhere right to it. You can get, if you're just going with just a straight acrylic tube, there's a lot of different, like if there's a plastic manufacturer, like a sign shop, they might have something like that, or there's Amazon for sure. You have to get real specific. I think McMaster Car actually has parts for that stuff, but definitely seal it with silicone if you are doing a real liquid, which there's tutorials online how to do, so do liquids like that, as a lot of haunted houses have a lot of different ways of doing stuff like that. So I would look in that direction. But if you wanted it to be just a solid thing, I would do a clear epoxy resin, maybe get a color tint to what I can't remember which, what color it was.
The one I want to do is like the new Santa Cruz, so it's like green.
It's okay.
Like the boba pearls in it. So
okay.
Kind of what I want to do.
It's got
like,
what in it?
Like bubble tea
curls. Yeah.
Oh, dude. Kind of
curls.
Yeah.
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 The theme of it
yeah.
is like, yeah.
So, yeah, that one.
So, what you can also do is you can find that green ooze.
Green ooze.
Right? Because they like there's how to make green slime that you make with kids. Right? And you can just do green slime and then put bubble things in there and try that.
I would think maybe marbles.
Marbles would work great. And there's also a lot of like green ooze, like TME and NT toys and stuff you can probably find and then tear apart and get that ooze out of.
Yeah, it does have to be a nice, like, kind of funny green.
Yeah. I made a ooze canister a long time ago, and I made like green ooze. But they also make like if you go to a Hobby Lobby or a hobby store, if you ever seen like the centerpieces where it's kind of like jelly type of stuff that looks like water. I don't know. Do people know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like rubberish or whatever. There's like a mix that you can use. I've bought it before, and you'll mix it up and stuff, and it turns into this like hardened kind of like rubber jelly that still you can see through it, and you can tint it with different colors. So if you're doing something like that, you could add things inside of it and on top into that, something like that, so it gives that like boba kind of oozy watery look. So that'd be my suggestion. It's in like the floral section, I believe, because they use it like in different like floral table settings and things like that. So
that's a lot of liquid, right? What's up?
So, you know, I'm going to cosplay next. How do I start making that sword?
So, she's cosplaying the crane.
No.
What?
Lord Shen from Kung Fu Panda 2. He's a peacock.
Oh, so a peacock. I'm sorry. That has a sword, and we're looking at the sword right now. It's a very, very, very thin sword. And
with these weird jaggedy lines.
It has weird jaggedy lines. And she's asking how she would go about doing that. I know my initial response. Do you have one?
I've never made a sword before, I need all the advice I can get.
I have several, so if you want to start, we can pass it.
So my first thought was, okay, so it's really, really thin. I would go with a car antenna because it extends out and it's very, very thin. It's durable or something like that. Maybe just a long, very, very thin pole, right? Like you get aluminum or something like that. But if you work with a metal, it's going to be a lot less.
And if you pass the weapons check.
Yeah.
Well, if it's covered with foam.
Yeah. If it's covered with foam or you just explain to them like, hey, listen, this is more dangerous than a walking stick or something, it would probably be okay. But, I mean, don't sharpen the end. Okay?
You can make it rounded, but not like...
Yeah, so I would go with metal first thing because it's not going to break and it's not going to... And the reason I actually like the antenna is the fact that those are actually made to the point where they won't droop at all.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Rather than, like, if you take a piece of metal and you extend and you have it going out, it'll still droop, but an antenna will stay straight no matter how far out you go. But he's got lots of suggestions.
There's a couple things you can do. If you want to stick with metal, I believe they're, I don't know if they're sold in all hardware stores or not, but there's, like an antenna, they sell really, really, really small, like really thin pipes out of like brass or whatever that they won't droop at all.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to look for something that is still a pipe and not just a rod, because most of the time it will just flex and just droop. You can also look for PVC dowel, which it'll droop a little bit, but it's plastic. There won't be any, con reasons for it to not get in. For the sides, that one's a little bit more tricky. My first thought would be to use Centro styrene, which is a plastic, which is like a sign plastic, which you can get by the sheet or like in cards. It seemed like they were fairly segmented so that you could probably get away with smaller pieces instead of having to buy a large sheet to work off of. I think the biggest issue in itself is literally just attaching the side panels to the main body. Now, there's something you could do if you don't mind the initial, like the main frame being a little bit thicker. You can get a really thin metal rod, have the plastic attached to that, and then you can get foam dowel to run on the top of it so that it builds the shape up a bit more, but there's more contact area for all of it to stay together. The foam dowels, like we mentioned before, there's a few sites that sell them. TNT Cosplay does half dowels, and so does HD foam from SKS Props, which if you're ever needing any trim pieces, anything else like that, they're really good for too. I suggest doing the half dowels because you don't want to have to cut it perfectly down the center and then reattach on both sides.
Yeah, cutting the foam dowels I've tried.
was there any noticeable parts on the handle that?
Yeah,
so it's mostly, I just saw the print of the blade.
So yeah, there's actually like a long like wooden handle below that part still. It's like covered up in that photo, and then there's like those parts that's also metal.
Okay.
So yeah, this is something else we do, consulting. FYI.
I would totally do.
A lot of times if you just want like a quick question on how you go about doing this.
Then make sure you pattern out the blade.
So
if you do the handle wide enough, you can drill a hole for the blade to actually fit into. And if it's a threaded rod, if you decide to go with threaded rod, you get the dowels along the sides.
All right.
Hey guys, it's John Quaid here. Sorry about the overlapping audio at this point. In the panel, Seth was still giving some advice to the previous person asking the question, but he was doing it right next to the microphone. So you're hearing James continue the panel going and Seth whispering to the young lady about her costume and how to help her out with that. So we get some conflicting audio. I tried to cut some of it out. But I also wanted you to kind of hear the next person's question because we get into it once Seth is done talking. But that's why the audio is a little funky. So let's get into it.
Make it realistic-looking plate mail.
Realistic-looking plate mail was the question. The how do you make realistic-looking
plate mail? Signboard would be the best.
Clay, do you want to take this one first or not? Blade.
It looks very, very thin. So it doesn't look like it's a broadsword or anything else like that. But and then work for maybe epoxy for the plastics.
Buy plate mail.
But take your time. Make sure that when you
That's the thing. Literally,
put it all together that you have plate mail marked, pieces, like along the
And then actually attach them together. You can buy a whole other plate mail thing. I would go with
the places
if it's actually plate mail and you want to make it plate mail.
If it is,
the foam's good, the plastic, but also Citro. Like we've said Citro a few times. What that is to it there.
And if you do the foam down over the top of it,
the only problem is you have to be really careful with your melting it with the heat gun because
flat part of the half dome, so it's
bad fumes. But it's cuttable with like with scissors or with I should say it's cuttable with shears, okay? So you shear it down, you can sand it down and everything like that. You can bend it around kind of the same way you can finish both. So that'll be a little bit, it's what a lot of like Mandalorians make their armor out of. You know, it's kind of hardened. And then of course you can always 3D print it too, but that's gonna take a long time, right?
And a lot of sanding.
I would say kind of how we talked to her about the armor making and stuff. I didn't hear all of what he was saying because they were still finishing up and I was trying to listen to everyone. But I would say look for some patterns of what kind of plate mail you want, and you could even make them out of foam as well. And just, it's all about the paint job a lot of times to make things look like how we talked to earlier about making that wood and the rock look more like wooden rock, but you can make the foam definitely look like metal or whatever type of material I'm trying to look for. So I don't know if you already said it or what.
Yeah, you want to talk about painting? We haven't talked about painting at all.
Seth is good at painting. Seth will talk about painting.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was another question. You got one? Yeah, what's up?
How would you go about making kind of like realistic looking fur, but like use face paint for it?
Use face paint to make realistic looking fur.
It's a layering for like
face paint. I think that is right there.
Yeah. Essentially, what you're going to want to look at is you want to have a reference picture of whatever the fur of the animal that you're trying to replicate, and then you're going to want to basically have a few different shades of like the color that it is, and then you basically want to layer them over each other.
Yeah, you can layer and you can texture and you can blend it.
I think there's a few makeup.
Face pacing.
I'd probably refer to YouTube. There's probably some really good videos.
We're not the
best with makeup and face paint type of stuff. James just puts acrylic paint all over his face all the time. So yeah. I've done some face painting, but not like all the blending and everything. But we're not the experts on that. But I'm sure there's someone on YouTube that has some great tutorials.
There's a few really good body art cosplayers that do some really cool stuff with that. So,
you can also buy like costume fake fur and kind of glue that to your face with like medical adhesive. Oh yeah, medical adhesive is fantastic. Not super glue. Okay, and not spirit gum. Spirit gum sucks. Don't use that. So spirit gum, I don't know if you ever, not super glue because it's too powerful. And spirit gum is not powerful enough. When I say it's not good. So there's a thing called Prozade, and there's a thing, just if you type in just medical adhesive, it's, you know, what doctors use. It's the super glue that was actually made and really good for your skin. Maybe not good for your skin. I don't like.
But it's better.
Yeah, it's better.
It's not. Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
Don't super glue yourself.
Don't like bathe in it or anything. So there's definitely a medical adhesive out there. I wish somebody would have told me that a long time ago.
Before he super glued stuff to his face.
Yeah.
You're going to super glue stuff to your face anyway.
I still super glue stuff to my face, but do as I say, not as I do, right?
Yeah, but I'm sure there's some great like airbrush tutorials too, so you can get some of that like feathering.
Yeah.
Or like not feathering, but like contouring. There you go. That's the word I'm looking for. But yeah, I would suggest looking at some of those. Even just looking for pictures online of something you kind of want and finding out who that was, maybe even messaging them. Dropping them DMs.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Like, if you see something that somebody's done or whatever, lot of people were very happy to help, right? And to say, oh, well, here's a link to a video I did, even. That's really, really helpful. So hopefully that helped to answer your question. We have 7 minutes left. Does anybody have another question or two? And then we can
wrap it up.
If not, we'll talk about painting. So, okay, first and foremost about painting, when you are painting with a rattle can, read the back of the rattle can, right? Most of them have and this is something a lot of people don't know, they have a recoat time on them. So a lot of people will get crackling in their paint jobs, and they're like, why did I spent so much time, and it just crackles. Well, the reason for it is usually the fact that you've either not shaken the paint well enough, or you did it in not great conditions, adverse conditions, which is super hot or super cold. But even those, you can kind of get around. Well, you definitely have to shake it well, right? But even in like cold, you can get around it. But a lot of times it just dries a lot slower, like way slower than you thought it would ever dry slower. But if you read the back, it says recoat time. And a lot of times it'll say 1 hour or 24 hours. What that means is it means that if you painted something all black with like black for primer, right? And then you basically wait another like 45 minutes, then do it, you're fine. If you wait over that hour, then it can mess up, right? So you have up to an hour to recoat it, which is what the recoat time is. Or the 24 hours is if you miss that window, then you have to wait the 24 hours to paint it for it to cure completely so it doesn't crackle. Another thing is if you're mixing enamel and lacquer paints together, that's a problem, right? So we got 5 minutes. So 5 minutes. So definitely read the back of the cans. Don't mix lacquer and enamel. You can actually put one or the other. I forget which one's which. I don't want to be quoted on anything or whatever, but look up YouTube channels. Also, as far as like spray paint goes, there are YouTube channel after YouTube channel after YouTube channel on how to use spray paint, on literally just how to do a simple spray paint job, right? There's a lot to it. I would say just like look up beginning spray paint and you'll be fine. But that's one of those things that a lot of people don't know about recoat times. So I want to be sure to mention. Other painting things, there's a technique called washing, which is when you basically have your prop or your costume and you want all the little recesses on the inside of it to all be like darkened or to be a different color. You basically just take whatever color you want to wash it for, you water it down, and then you paint it on, and then you wipe it off with a rag. And everything you haven't wiped off then becomes whatever color it was originally. And anything that you didn't wipe off that's all in this recesses, that changes to whatever color you wanted. So that's called washing, and there's dry brushing, and a few other things. And you definitely need to look that up on YouTube. I'll let you guys talk about those.
All right. Since we just have a few more minutes, just want to really quick on that. Biggest thing with paints are you're going to get what you pay for, which is kind of the kind of sucky thing is, it's just expensive to get good paints, but most of the time, I'm not going to say all the time, most of the time, you'll get better results with better paints. As far as our main, like any of the weathering that we do, we always use model paints for. So they might be expensive, but they will last a long time as long as you're not just like, you know, dumping the whole thing out on a palette. But a little goes a long way with them. It might be expensive, but you'll get really, really good results for. Hobby Lobby, Michael's, Joann's all sells like Fine Touch and Basics brands, which do really well for like rust effects, weathering, like James said, with the washes. But as far as painting goes, you're going to want to get good paints and good brushes, and take care of your brushes, and they will take care of you.
Can you hold up your shield back there? It looks awesome.
What?
Your shield, you painted it really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like that. Yeah, I met you like.
Oh, yeah, we met you before. Yeah.
But that, he did a great job. I think in Fort Wayne, we met you up in Fort Wayne, Pop Gun, right?
Yeah.
So that shield, he did a great job in weathering with paint, and I'm sure it looked awesome as wood, but the paint job is absolutely what sells costumes, okay? And so if you do an okay job at building the thing, but you do a masterful job of painting, or you're just good at painting, or you watch a lot of YouTube stuff, that's where it's at, right? So if you're going to invest your time in learning a bunch of stuff, painting is definitely one of them. A good one to do.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, I think we're right there at time. So we're going to head right over to, we got 2 minutes.
Can I say something?
We got 2 minutes. I'm going to let Quade talk for a second, and then after that, we're going to go to the costume contest.
I just wanted to say real quick that if you came in late or anything like that, we were attempting to record some of this. Who knows how the audio is going to be, so we'll see how well it turns out. But we just recently started a new podcast. We are trying to put it out every Wednesday, Wolfgar Wednesdays. We have a couple so far. The first one's on the life and times of Seth Knight right here. You can learn his life story and how he came up. The second one so far was Cosplay 101, where I was talking to James about different Cosplay 101 tips. We mentioned a lot of things we did here for some of that, but there might be some little tidbits in there. But the third one that I'm putting up is going to be kind of this panel right here. So if there was anything you missed or came in late and you kind of wanted to hear more, it's going to be on either Anchor or Spotify, and it's just Wolfgar Weapons. So just search that, and you can definitely find it and check it out and hear some more about it. So I just wanted to plug that in there, too, for the people that came in late.
Definitely. And feel free. We got Time Stop. He's yelling stop. Rah. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you very much for coming. Feel free to join us
at the costume contest. Feel free to talk to us afterward. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the awesome questions, too. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everybody, to Wolfgar Wednesdays. It was a great panel. We had a ton of great questions. We talked about all sorts of stuff, and we had a great time. So thanks once again for listening. Hopefully you join us next Wednesday for Wolfgar Wednesdays, and continue to listen. Sorry once again about the audio. We'll get it better. We'll get it right next time. Just stick with us. We're still figuring out all the kinks and all the different things with this. But thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. See ya.